started when I started talking. There's a gentleman standing by his van outside. He says, "Excuse me, sir. Are you familiar with the area?" I said, "Yeah, a little bit." So I'm reading the guy, you know. What's he about to ask me? "Do you know if there is a church within walking distance of here?" I said, "Well, are you looking for a church or what you can get from the church?" Now, there's a statement I just would never say. Except in the moment. Well, he said, I'm trying to get a gas card. And then he gives me a little story. Trying to get somewhere down to Portland or something. And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, you know. So I'm listening. And then I'm, of course, thinking at the same time, what do I have in my pocket? I got a $1 bill and I got a $50 bill. And I'm thinking, now if I had a 20. So, you're not going to believe this part. I said, "Yeah, so you go down here a couple of blocks to Fifth. And you turn left." You know, he looks at me and says, "Oh, yeah, I can walk 2 blocks." And remember, it's walking distance. And then you go 2 blocks, and there's a church right there on the corner called Praise Chapel. Yeah, I said that. He said, "Okay." He opens the door. He's got 5 kids in pajamas. And says, "Come on, kids, we got to go for a walk." And I head to my car. And on the way over, I'm realizing or thinking, these thoughts come to my mind. You had that old piece of equipment. It was some forks I had bought a couple years ago on the farm. I bought them 3 years ago. We used them once. We didn't like them. They've been sitting for 2 years. I ran an ad. I sold them. That's the only reason I had cash in my pocket. I never have cash in my pocket. And so the thought comes, those forks should still be sitting there. But I sent you somebody to buy them, and now you have cash in your pocket. And here's this man who's got this need that appears to be genuine and real. Okay, so I thought, I'm going to turn around. And I go back to the car, and I give him the $50. I said, "Here's, this will get you gas." He thanked me, and he said, "Come on, kids, we got to go get some gas." Piled them all back in the car. And so I asked myself the question. So did I really go to Fred Meyer's to get a tie? You know, I'm so conscious of ties. I want every day of my life to be led of him. Wherever it is that I am supposed to participate with the things that he places into my hand to pass through my hand. Amen? Now, you understand, I'm not looking for points. I just want to know daily the leading and the directing. On the drive from the parking lot to back to here, I passed about 3 or 4 individuals, and each one of them had obviously difficulties in their immediate circumstances. And all I could feel was compassion for them, pray for them. You know, there's a lot of hurting people. There's hurting people in our world. And I want to be conscious of their pain, their hurts, and not just go about my life and all the good things that God's brought into my home, my life. Amen? Amen. Brother Joe Castro, I've asked him to come and just take a minute and greet you. And I bought him as much time as I could.
Praise the Lord. Have we ever asked ourselves, what's God's plans for our lives? I have been and continue to struggle with certain things in my life, and they've impacted my life so much that I can't stop thinking about it every day. And what I do is I just ask myself, is this in God's plan? Is this what God wants for me? And these past 2 weeks, I was struggling with something on top of that. And I just remembered what my parents taught me. And I even asked the pastor about something. And I'm like, should I do it? Should I not? But that question, what's God's plan for my life, always was there. You know, I don't know the future. We don't know the future of this, of our lives, of this area, of this country, of this world. We do know what the scripture says, but we don't know the future. And I'm not trying to make this sad or anything. It's just a moment to reflect on what God has done for us already. And I can say for myself that I've been amazed with some of the things that God has brought me through. I honestly, looking back, I'm like, why did that happen? Why is this happening to me now? Why did that happen before? Of course, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but why did that happen? And after going through it, we can say, well, you know what? God put me through that situation for a reason, you know? And at the time, we may not realize it. We may not understand why. And all I can encourage you to do is to keep our eyes, you know, on the one that's never going to fail us. You know, our trust has to be in God. Because we all have our struggles. We all have something that maybe could be our weakness or something. But we all have that. You know, if we keep our focus on God, I will assure you that things will be better for you. You know, I wanted to do one thing, and I'll share it. I asked the pastor just what if I could do maybe the No Shave November. But in my mind, I already knew the answer because this question always comes up. Ever since I started getting facial hair, I'm like, I wonder if I could do that. And I didn't share this with my parents, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because I didn't get a no for an answer, but I, just thinking about it, I said, is this in God's plan? Should I even do this? Am I going to allow myself to do it? You know, whether or not it's just for a month. But I couldn't do it. You know, maybe others can, maybe others can't, but I couldn't do it. So I leave you with this question: is are our choices in God's plan? You know, and I was not expecting to talk today, but that is what is in my heart, and I would like to share that with you. And you know, God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Thank you. I forgot we'd had that conversation. He didn't get a no, he didn't get a yes. He made his own judgment call after a little bit of advice. Praise God. Book of Acts, the 12th chapter. Scripture says perilous times shall come. We're experiencing difficult scenarios in our world because we feel upheaval, we feel disruption, we see corruption. And we're living in a society, in a country that has always pointed its finger at other countries, speaking of their corruption, their lack of moral or integrity and things like this. And now we're discovering that maybe we're not so different as everybody else in some areas, as a country, as what we have referred to as our governing powers and leaders and things. And it's probably been far easier for us to say, you know, quote the scripture to others and saying, submit to those who have the authority over you and pray for your leaders and government and all these things. And then you begin to consider people in other scenarios in other countries where the contrast is so extreme that it would be an insult for you to tell somebody, go submit to that situation. You understand? You know, what if you were in Iran? Submit to those that have leadership over you. It's just a different place in the world at the time. Now, I commented the other night, and I want to say this again. News is business. I will give some credit to those who have pursued journalism as a vocation, but news is business. And business is motivated by truth. Oh, no. Business is motivated by dollars, profit. Remember that the next time you go looking for something true in the news. Okay? Now, the Word of God is truth. And I can go to the historical events of how God acted or responded to scenarios concerning mankind to have a better grasp on him and the direction that he shares to us in the Word of God, right? Concerning future events. Brother Castro mentioned, we don't know the future, absolutely, but we do know the past. And the Word of God shares enough with us to show us some things about God, to give us some peace for the future. Our peace is in him. Our confidence is in him. Our safety or lack thereof is in him. Acts 12 and 1. Now about the time Herod the king, a governing official, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. It was during a feast, and so there was a waiting period. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. A governing official, a supreme governing official, took action not towards people, not towards an ethnic group, but towards the church, certain members of the church. And his first action, or this following action towards these individuals of the church, was to cut their head off. He killed James, an apostle. The Lord led him. It only exhilarated him, the king. Cool. I like this response. Go get Peter. I'm gonna do the same thing to him. And so Peter is arrested, a believer. He's arrested by the authority of governing officials and put into prison with the intent that right after Easter, he's done. Now, these believers, I'm sure, would encourage one another with things like, you know, all things work together for good to them that are called, and, you know, them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, and, you know, like we do. And they would probably would quote even some of the Old Testament scriptures, you know, 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, and, you know, 10,000, but nothing shall come nigh some of you. I mean, what else could you say? I stopped short of reading the 11th chapter of Hebrews, of those who were sawn asunder, starved. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's grueling. And you know it covers over a time span. But the idea of what the writer was quoting in the 11th chapter was to tell us about the 12th chapter, saying that these all died in faith. But they're a great cloud of witnesses that they would not be complete without us living our portion, whatever our portion is. And there is a portion that people, believers, have lived through a span of time that has been relatively peaceful. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize things are quickly coming to a change in our world. And we are exposed to them because of the creation of media. We see, we hear with our own eyes. Now, this isn't something to scare us. So James is killed. John is in prison. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So let's see. Was there a failure on the part of the church to pray for James? I don't think so. Because the scripture declares to us how that they went house to house, breaking bread and prayed. There were prayer meetings going on. But again, Brother Castro, what is God's plan for me? What is his will and plan for me? And of course, what he was concluding was, is I just need to walk in the will and purpose of God. maybe I need to discount some of those things that are just aspirations and thoughts and ideas of my own. I need to really know and pursue, do they line themselves up with the will of God? And in the purpose and plan of God, there were things that took place in historical events in Scripture that we look back to gain a certain amount of understanding. That in that season of time, you know, there were times when entire cities and communities were overran. There were times that we read about when the Jews, as a chosen people, because of their actions, because of their idolatry, and their rejection from their Creator's leading and direction in their lives, they were turned over to the oppressors. Okay? We can look, I think, with a certain amount of surmise that these are a lot of Old Testament stories in the way God would deal with Israel and their response or their lack of response to him. Oftentimes you find him raising up deliverers and raising up kings, or sometimes even turning them over to kings. But you do see the hand of God operating in their lives, always an attempt to cause them to turn back to him. Okay? And it's almost like we saw a vicious cycle as we read through these Old Testament writings, that there would be a walking away, and then there were those situations that would cause them to turn back. Peter was in prison, and the prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod, the governing official, would have brought him forth the same night. He's never late. He's rarely early. But in the same night, as the governing authorities were going to take direction to take the life of a believer, God sent an angel into the prison. Let's just read it. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with his two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind thy sandals." And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. They went out, and they passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. In the same writing, the same setting in the Scripture, we see God allowing for one to be taken, and for another, him providing supernatural intervention and the saving or the sparing of another. God's choosing. Not a consequence, but God's choosing. He allows for, and then he refuses to allow and stops at any cost through his own personal intervention in the lives of believers. So our confidence is not in our relationship with the governing authority. Our confidence should be in our relationship and our trust in our King, our Maker, the one who has a perfect plan. And as we seek daily to walk in His purpose and plan, let me tell you where you'll end up. You'll end up in His perfect plan. Whatever the future holds that's in His hand, however He chooses to allow the governing bodies in our world and in our specific country. My peace is in Him. My confidence is in Him. Oh, I'll cast my vote, believe me. And I got an opinion, believe me. I don't know why, but I've wanted to say this for weeks. There's a lot of pressure on tax-exempt organizations like churches not to publicly make any declarations politically, and I'm not going to, because of your, they can take away your tax-exempt status. Well, they're eventually going to tax all the churches anyway. But, point being, if you want to know anything from me personally, just ask me. If I have an opinion on something and feel like I want to give my opinion, I'm going to give it. If I care enough about you that I would have something to say that would influence you in any way, I'm going to say it. You think I'm going to hold it a secret? You think I'm going to hold it to myself? I'm just saying. There just seems to be a lot of secrecy in certain scenarios. I don't know. Anyway, just saying. Let's go back to the Word. Revelation chapter 12, let me read this to you, verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So we know this is a historical event. This was something that took place, and there was a casting out. Okay, now watch. Brother Hart brought this up the other night. This particular scripture made a comment, and I thought it was very clear and clever. And prevailed not, neither was their place found in any more in heaven. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, when you read that, do you get one or do you get four? See, there are scriptures that talk about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and some want to say we got three. Well, this declares what? One or four? Well, everybody knows there's just one, right? Just saying. It's the same reasoning. Who deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And They loved not their lives unto death. In all that they were living through and experiencing during their hour, the frame of mind that they walked in was they loved not their lives unto the extremeness of death. They had an understanding. I may live, I may die. Paul said to live is Christ, to die is better. Oh, gain. Now, I'm not readying anybody, I don't think. But we're all exposed to so much media. The media has got everybody so in a frenzy in their minds, because every other day there's a new briefing. There's a new alert, and it counters the last alert, and it's got us going to the left, and then it's got us going to the right, and then it's got us going, I don't know, what do I do? Oh my goodness, we're all falling apart. Just shut your phone off for 48 hours and you'll have a couple of good days. It's the exposure to this. Literally. Leave it on the bedstand and go to work and forget about it for a day. Or two. Oh, I could never last. I could never survive. Yeah, sure you would. You have a better day, I promise you. Far more peaceful. Far more. Book of Esther, chapter 3 at verse 1. And these things did King Ahasuerus, the governing official, promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes governing officers in the kingdom. High-ranking governing official. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said to Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. In other words, I'm not going to bow to a man. I only bow to my God. When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Remember the story? Haman, a governing official, began to take action against this Jew, and politically, in the background, coordinated an effort that not only this Jew, but all Jews will be silenced, will be put to death, will be exterminated. A governing official, empowered by laws of the land, took action against this Jew and arranged for a set of gallows or a gas chamber or a fill in the blank, and made sure that laws were in place to come against these Jews. And God used some simple things in the night to disturb a man that he would get up and have somebody read something to me. And a story would be told about a man who stopped an assassination plot. And a king would say, oh, you know the story. It was miraculous. It was the hand of God stepping in. When all the governing authorities and officials were coming in against God's people, he intervened and he reversed the tables. And Haman, didn't Haman go to the gallows? The very governing official who was so high ranking, he was above all the princes, hung on the very gallows that he put in place to kill a Jew. God's chosen. You think he's able to watch over you? According to his plan, according to his purpose. There was a pretty outstanding apostolic young fellow who found himself one day while ministering to have rocks begin to hit him in the face and in the head. As others stood by, others who had historical purpose in God, a young man who did not even know yet, stood there and held their coats as they slayed Stephen. Do you think Stephen had stepped out of the will of God? No. God knows what he's doing. And if he would choose to take or choose to remain for his purpose alone. Don't I want to be in his will? Don't I trust him that he knows best? Yet if we, you know, lately there's some communication about fear mongering and pointing it to an individual or two. But sometimes I think our news media today does more fear-mongering about everything. Because there's something about fear that keeps us tuning back in. You know, even historic events. There was an earthquake in Italy yesterday. And I listened to an announcer talk about the earthquake that happened. And by the end of the commentary, she was readying and promoting for what would be worse to come next. See, it wasn't enough to just take the event and report and tell and share, but the last words uttered promoted fear of something greater coming. You know, every day up to that point was just another day. Anyhow, we don't have to live in fear. We need to live in a confidence in our God that he is working his will in the earth concerning our lives. Amen. And a trust that he knows whether to keep or to take or allow to be kept or allow to be taken for his purposes. Could we express some praise and thanks to him right now? According to your will, Father. Why don't you stand and say that to the Lord? According to your will, my Father, I stand yielded to you and I trust me and mine. I trust me and mine. Into your hand, Jesus, I trust you, I believe you, and I will walk in faith, I will not walk in fear. I will walk in faith. I will not walk in fear. Please be seated. When I walk in faith, I am available to him and to be used of him. When I walk in fear, I shut down. I close up. I become silenced. When I walk in faith, I'm open. I'm trusting. I'm looking. I'm waiting. Frame of mind. A shift in my frame of mind. He has preserved you unto this hour. Born again, spirit-filled, spirit-led believers. You are preserved unto this hour that he knew would be coming upon the earth. And we must have a reason of the hope. Yes. If you have not been a beacon, you are about to become a beacon of light. If you've not been salt, promise you, you are about to become the salt of the earth. Because of that which he has invested in you for his purpose and his will. And for the hours that are coming upon our world, you have significant place. You've been given the word of reconciliation. You've been given the word of life. You've been given a living word. So stop asking who you are. Who am I? This is who you are. This is who we are. Praise God. Okay, let me read one more to you. John chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate, governing official, therefore took Jesus, the Son of God, and scourged him. But you ain't doing that to me. Get those sharp things away. No. Anybody see the Passion of Christ? I could never see it twice. So they scourged him. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said mockingly, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." So that's what they do with guys who have no fault. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, oh, those religious leaders, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. What have I got myself into? And went again unto the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify you?" You know, a lot of governing people kind of feel that way. "Don't you know I can arrest you?" Don't you know I have the power to crucify you and have the power to release you? Here we are, feeble believer. Oh, have mercy on us. Oh, well, please be, you know, don't, you know, please. Isn't that what Jesus did? Oh, no, 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 no. He understood. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." You believe that about you? It doesn't matter the governing power or the governing offices. It doesn't matter the parties involved. There's no power over me as a believer unless it's given to them by him from above. It is the historical truth of the Word of God that I stand upon during these perilous political times. What if? Nah, I refuse to live there. Why don't you stand with me? Lord, give us wisdom. In choosing those things that we expose ourselves to. Give us wisdom. When to turn the knob off. When to click away. You're better off reading Craigslist Farm and Garden. It's far more pleasant. It really is. I mean, if you're looking for something to entertain you, you know, look at the pig, look at the chicken. It's pretty refreshing. I used to enjoy looking at Google News and, you know, informing myself of the things of the world, but it's become consumed at this particular time with, watch this word now, watch this word. This is the word that they taught us in school about the Chinese, about the Russians. Propaganda. It's filled with propaganda. Sorry, Google, had your chance. I'm clicking over to Craigslist and looking at Farm and Garden. Pinterest. I know where you're at. Give me wisdom, Lord, on the things that I allow here, and their effect upon my heart and my spirit, my life. Because I want to be available to the King. I want my walk to be a walk of faith, not a walk of fear. And I want to be that light. I want to have an answer for the hope. And so I got to protect that. Give me wisdom in my choices, Lord. Sing to us, Miko. So you who are in the room, anybody wrestling with some fears lately? Some concerns that overwhelm? Are you looking for the peace that passes all understanding? Would you like a touch of God upon you today? I just like altar calls. I just like them. I like to see people praying, responding, and pouring their heart out to God. Presenting themselves. You know, there's a certain amount of acknowledgement when a person will step out of the pew or the place that they are sitting. There's a certain amount of acknowledgement that says, I agree with these things that I'm hearing, and I want to acknowledge this to you, my Father, as I step forward, as I come and I, you can kneel, you can sit, you can stand. That really is immaterial. It's the position of your heart and your mind, your frame of mind before God.
It's all